This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Retired NYPD detective and founder and CEO of the National Institute for Law and Justice, Mark Pucci, is joining us to talk Alec Murdaugh and the appeals process that's going on. We'll also go into some of the other treasure trove of charges that Alec Murdaugh is facing and where that could all end up. But let's start on the appeals, Mark. What's your thoughts on where that is heading?
So, you know, there's a couple of schools of thought on that. I think the most prominent being where the judge allowed the prosecution to introduce outside defamatory information about the defendant. You know, in most cases, that's a taboo and an automatic, you know, grounds for appeal. But in this case, the prosecutor, I think, pretty, you know, persuasively argued that that was where the motive lied, you know, where these murders would, you know, ultimately, or he hoped they would ultimately distract from this impending, you know, like financial doom and career ending, you know, thefts.
Sure.
So, yeah, so it seems, you know, it seems like there's enough of a ground there, but there is precedent, you know, pretty substantial precedent, you know, in the past where that could be grounds for an appeal and sometimes, you know, overturning of the verdict.
Is it grounds for appeal when Alec flat out admitted to all of the character assassination, essentially? But it was true. I mean, he said it flat out. I did these things. I wasn't right. I'm ashamed of it, but I did that. When you have the defendant getting behind that, is that still in that same arena, or does that put a different spin on things?
Well, I think the you know, that's why this is such a unique, you know, circumstance, you know, because a lot of times that would be, I mean, as you're pointing out, there would be a resistance and an objection or repeated objections in this. But, you know, actually allowing him to, you know, literally admit and say, yep, I lied to that one. Yep, lied to that one. You know, it does definitely create, you know, a little more of a caveat and definitely some very, very deep gray areas, you know, in the interpretation of the law there.
How do you think this is going to affect his next trials, the financial crimes trials, considering everything he's already admitted to in the murder trial?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a colleague the other day, you know, and we almost said, you know, they can just present, you know, the actual video and audio recordings from this trial.
Yes.
And just say the prosecution rests.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I've been saying. I'm like, press play. And then, all right, no further questions. We're done.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? Why mess with success and perfection?
Exactly. I mean, that really, I mean, it feels like that could almost be done. But is that in reality what can be done? Or does this have to be argued further than his already admissions that he's made?
Well, what I would predict is that, you know, like in any other case where, you know, let's say there's, you know, a video that exists, or, you know, even if it's surveillance CCTV video, where it would be introduced. I mean, you know, most recently, not saying I agree or disagree with, but with this January 6th committee, you know, there was just seemed to be endless video.
Yeah.
And it was used in support. So I think that it would be used as the main basis, you know, in the, you know, prosecutorial, you know, arguments, and then all of the video would be used as direct reference.
At the end of the day, I mean, the likelihood of him being found guilty on these charges is probably very, very steep. As far as penalties for something like this, because it is another a criminal case, he has no more money, really, it appears to be giving out. I know there was some inheritance that was given, but from what I understand, some of that can't be touched criminally or civilly. Can you give any insight into that? Because that seems a little bit confusing as to what even the point of this is at some area where what more are you going to get from this man?
Yeah, so I mean, generally anything that would be commingled would be very, very difficult to, you know, to uncommingle it, and then determine which portion of, you know, of the monies you know, or directly attached to him, and, you know, and any kind of, you know, ownership to the others. I mean, the only thing that I could think is possibly anything that's exclusively in his name, more in a future tense, you know, almost like a, you know, like a lien, you know, in perpetuity, maybe even if his life insurance is still in full force, mm-hmm. if that hasn't been, you know, disqualified, or canceled, you know, on various, you know, legal reasons, you know, so it might be something where, you know, you'd be waiting, you know, at the morgue to collect the death yeah. certificate, and then, you know, and then file to, you know, to attach to any of the, you know, monetary assets. Then
I know he cannot profit from a book or anything like that. Should he give interviews or do anything of that nature? If someone else were to try and sit down and do an interview with him or profit in some way, shape, or form from the material that they gather directly from him, could that sort of material or profits be used or be basically seized and used towards fulfilling some of the lawsuits that are against him?
You know, it's not 100% my area of expertise, but I would say, you know, in the fact that even though the person who, let's say, is going to author or have the publishing rights to those, you know, manuscripts or mm-hmm. recordings, is not directly related, there's still a disinterested third party, mm-hmm. You know, within that. Again, you know, very, very skilled attorneys out there that could possibly, you know, create a, you know, a connector or some sort of, you know, a conduit mm-hmm. To that. But I think that would be pretty difficult.
It's just very bizarre how, and I do wonder how much more we're going to see in this case as far as other members of the family or people in the circle being charged with crimes. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, been obviously reading and, you know, and really just trying to immerse myself in, you know, as much as is, you know, publicly available. And it just seems like this, you know, could be the proverbial tip of the iceberg. You know, there's a lot of other things have gone on through the years. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you start to see, you know, a lot of the, you know, prior, you know, like even attorneys that may have gone against him, mm-hmm. Other members of his family where, you know, appeals are being made, you know, on allegations of, you know, tampering with evidence, falsifying mm-hmm. evidence, withholding possible exculpatory evidence and things of that nature. You know, a lot of times when you find someone who is, you know, in a position similar to what he was, and especially for the decades that he was there, you know, a cursory review of everything that he would have touched
yeah.
throughout his career would be, you know, pretty standard operating procedure.
I would think almost any time that he said to any person, I have a perfect attorney for you and recommend somebody, which he did several times that we know of, and God knows how many times it happened that we don't know of, for his own gain or his own protection, I'd be looking very closely at every single one of those cases and why Alec made a specific recommendation for anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All, you know, business associates, any financial attachments, you know, should all be ready. You know, I guess, what do they say, you know, tidying up their house,
yeah.
you know, getting ready for, you know, major inquiries that are coming down the pike.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Mark Pucci, retired NYPD detective and founder and CEO of the National Institute for Law and Justice. Thank you for joining us and giving us your insight. We do appreciate. Mark's going to be on again in just a little bit. So press subscribe. We're going to be talking about the Daybells and where it's going to be going from here. What on earth is the defense going to try and raise to defend Lori Daybell? I don't know the answer to that, but maybe Mark has some more ideas. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our conversations and coverage of the cases that we're following for you. You can even get an ad-free experience through Apple Podcasts. That full list of cases in the episode description. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.